This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Years after Stonewall, lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgender people are celebrating Pride Day around the globe. We're still fighting for basic human rights. We're fighting for our lives from Serbia and Lebanon to the Castro District. We'll look at AIDS organizing, Latino LGBT organizing, transgender rights, and the contribution of queer intellectuals and much, much more. Tune in to Pacifica's LGBT special called Pride and Resistance. Check your local station's website for details.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston.
Hello.
And whoever the hell's foolish enough to be listening in.
Yes.
This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, yada yada. We've been around 20 years. You should know where the hell you're at now.
Well, who the hell are you?
I'm Chris Harrison.
And what are you?
Tired.
And we know that, but how are you feeling?
Click. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. 1 week away from the Pride Parade.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. It's pink. It's going to be great this year if my microphone will stay in its holder.
Just get
some... God, yes. Okay. We started off with some oldie music. I thought for the month of June we'd play kind of maybe older, kind of anthem-type music for the gay community, or that the gay community has enjoyed in the past. That was Jimmy Somerville with Small Town Boy. In fact, for a couple of years, we used that as the opening theme music. Yeah, when...
Back when it was a cathedral style radio and you needed tubes?
Yeah. Way back when. Yeah. You make me say bad words.
Hey, you did that well on your own a couple weeks ago. I didn't have to prompt you
anything. Yeah, I was excited. Anyway. I am excited.
At your age, that's dangerous.
Yes, I am. I'm very excited because for the first time in 19 years, an idea of mine is going to come to fruition. And that is, Chris and I will be on the KPFT float or truck or whatever it is they provide. And we will, there's going to be a PA system, and we're going to be kind of doing a after-hour show live with us insulting each other and playing queer music and all
kinds of
stuff.
See, at least with the PA system, we can try to get people out of the crowd to help push us along.
Well, see, they're not going to use the ARC car, KPFT ARC car, so we don't have that problem.
Oh.
Hopefully.
Just need to get in good with a tow truck company.
So, I'm very excited about this. We are going to be number 91 in the lineup, which means you won't see us until after 11 o'clock. Those of you who are still on the sidelines watching, that's 91 out of 108 entries.
Well, that's kind of fitting. We are 90.1. You know.
We are that. We are that. So I guess it kind of works. Anyway, you won't be able to miss me. I'll be all in pink like I am every year. And
if you can't see me, then you've had way too many of the concessions.
way too many refreshing beverages, yes. Oh, my. Yeah, you refreshed yourself into a coma. Anyway, that's going to be
fun.
Why
don't you think I'm the Chipotle float going by?
How's your week been, dear?
I've been sick.
Me too, but, you know, it's Saturday night, and the adrenaline's pumping, and we're going to do an after-hour show. Yeah. We've got an evening with the Royal. Just one Royal. We're not sure yet.
Well, do you count personalities?
Well, if that's the case, it's an evening with the Royals, and with the Imperial Court of Houston, the Space City Empire, her most, oh God,
what?
What's that damn title? Her most.
Hey, it's your organization. You ought to be able to keep track of the damn titles. If you guys wouldn't come up with these 3 million,
I know. Well, in any event, Ginger's here. Okay. Is she making faces at me?
No, it looks like a normal face to me.
Okay.
So, yeah, that is a face, though.
A couple of things that I want to put in your ear before we get to an evening with the Royals and perhaps a black-on-black segment.
The hell are you looking at me for?
Well,
I was gone this past week. Remember? I wasn't here last week.
Yes, I know. But you're back now.
Hey, my boss said I can use the dead grandmother card for at least a week.
Oh.
So, I'm going to use it here, too.
Yes, your grandmother died. We talked about that last week.
No, I didn't listen to the show.
Yeah.
I don't listen to when I'm here, so I also don't listen to when I'm not here.
Did we get any letters?
Not this week.
Oh. Well, we'll have to talk about the letter we got last week that never really got a chance to talk about.
It's back there in my bag.
And speaking of talking, later on today, Sunday, June the 17th, happy Father's Day for all of you who may be fathers out there. From 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. is Babbel. That's the Houston Leather Boys, Boys and Boys Blending Life Experiences. It's a 1 hour to 1.5 hour monthly educational seminar that is open to all subs in the Houston community. It was created to give all subs in the community a chance to share information, educate, support each other, and create a stronger leather community. And that's happening at where? Wow.
And the room goes silent.
Yeah. Each month, they do not say. It's every third Sunday. And if anybody from the Houston Leather Boys is here, it's either going to be at the Ripcord or at the 611. That much I do know. They were talking about it last week. So there's that. And then, of course, since it's Father's Day, you know what that means, don't you?
I gotta go spend time.
This is not a rhetorical question.
Oh. I'm gonna guess you're gonna say the Daddy of Montrose.
There you go. It's the Daddy of Montrose contest. Yes, that's happening at 5 o'clock at Mary's later on today. And if you are interested in participating in the contest but still have not picked up an application, they will be available there. And all contestants need to be at Mary's no later than 4:15. Categories for the contest will be stage presentation, personal speech, leather fetish image, and Q&A from the judges. And I am not going to be there. Unfortunately, Stanley's coming in tomorrow, and his plane arrives at 5:15. So, but otherwise, 5 o'clock, the place to be is Mary's for the Daddy of Montrose contest. It's going to be fun. And that will be Robert Kahn stepping down. He has been the Daddy of Montrose this past year and done a wonderful job. Absolutely wonderful.
Babel is located, is going to be held at the 611.
Okay, thank you. 611, and that's from 2 to 3. So you can go to Babel and then head on over to Mary's.
Naturally.
Cool. Okay. And the Cult 45s, who are here every first Saturday, have their general membership meeting on Monday, June the 18th, 7:30, and that's at the BRB 2400 Brazos. And if you are interested in becoming a cult or finding out more about this great organization, stop by and hang out at a meeting and meet a couple of friends. A Willathon and estate planning seminar is open to everyone in the GLBT communities, regardless of age, and that's being put on by HVLP and SPRI. That's Wednesday, June the 20th at the United Way Building, 50 Waugh Drive in Houston. Reception at 5:30 and presentation at 6:30. And that's also sponsored by, of course, the Montrose Counseling Center and Legacy. Next Friday, June the 22nd, Tribute to Stonewall, show and raffle at Tony's is happening from 8 to 10. That's at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas. And this is a Tribute to Stonewall show and raffle benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities. And next month, two things going on the same date, damn it. You and a guest are cordially invited to join the crew of Olympus at an event in appreciation of our underwriters and supporters. That's Saturday, July the 14th at Baring and James Gallery, 805 Road Place, number 500 at 7 p.m. They're going to have wine and horse ovaries. And the big deal here is that they're going to have an exhibit of past ball costumes that have been at the Crew of Olympus masquerade balls.
Little miniatures?
No, big
balls.
Big
ball costumes.
Yeah,
okay.
Big ball. Yeah. And, of course, also that night is the KPFT radio station's fundraising gala. Saturday, July the 14th at EJ's Bar and Grill from 8:30 on. Your hosts will be Jim Crawford and the KPFT After Hours personalities, Jimmy Carper and Chris Harrison. We will be there. This is the first time an organization has had a direct fundraising event for After Hours in KPFT. In the history of the show, I'm really, really pleased. Jim Crawford was here and sat in my stead when I was out one weekend, and he kind of got a feel of what it's like to be in a radio station, and it just so happened it was membership drive that weekend, and we didn't do so well. So he took pity on us, and so to speak, and thought, well, you know, why can't the gay community support queer radio? So that was his drive. He alone is putting this all together. He's already got half a dozen or more people who are going to be performing for you. It'll be lip sync and live talent. So
pull it in, Mary.
Oh, I see. Okay, he's trying to get behind me. EJ's Bar and Grill.
You wish.
Saturday, July the 14th. Oh my. Oh, my, oh, my. And I think we have another royal who's walked in.
Oh, good Lord. This guy's not going to catch a clue. What?
Angel.
What am I on? 2 and 3. Are you going in there, too?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I can yell this guy on here.
Yeah. Okay.
Because now he rotates.
Hello.
Hey, Jimmy, why don't you sit in a place that has a microphone?
Well, I'd like to sit in a place that has a chair, actually. No. Sit.
Everybody, rotate microphones 1 degree. Or are you just going to share with the orphan?
It is time for an evening with the royals. You got me?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Okay. Good evening.
And we have both of our royals here tonight.
Indeed
we do. Thank you
for having us again.
Yes, Ginger and Orlin are here. And you're looking very different than you were 2.5 hours ago, both of you, as a matter of fact.
You're a lot different, too.
You just did a show at EJ's.
We did.
And it was... What was that show?
Who the hell knows?
Oh, okay.
Something cheesy.
Yeah, that's right. I was looking for the cheese balls.
It was called Ginger's Fromage.
Is that what it was?
Fromage,
I don't know.
Yes.
I told Sarah or Rose to come up with something.
You're getting real pissy about the cheesy part, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
She's always cheesy.
And you and Sarah were wonderful.
We were. Thank you very much.
And some nice new talent.
Yes, we have. We have several new members that are fabulous.
Yeah.
It's just, and I actually had another person join tonight.
Wow, that's great.
Yes, we did.
That's
wonderful.
That's wonderful.
I love it.
And something that was very, very different, you know, it started out kind of with a small crowd.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, I looked over at
Julie
and said, "Oh, my God, we're the only male line members here."
And
usually, it's all guys.
That is actually very unusual for ICOH because ICOH has a lot larger male line membership than it does a female line membership.
Yes.
Right, even the ones that don't perform. Yeah.
And so. it was just very unusual to have more girls.
Yeah, I was surrounded by women.
Yeah,
and girls.
I suggest you adapt.
Turnabout, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe.
We'll talk about that.
Maybe.
We'll talk about that.
Anyway, you two are here to talk about upcoming events for ICOH.
We are.
And one of the biggest, of course, has happening next weekend.
Indeed it is. Saturday night's tonight.
We are very excited about
it. We got our new medallions tonight.
Yes.
Yes.
Fabulous.
I was able to go to the Pride event, the wine tasting at the club at the uh-huh. Houston Club this afternoon. It was a very nice turnout.
And what we're all talking about is that the Imperial Court of Houston, the Space City Empire, was voted as the organizational grand marshal this year.
Yes, very exciting.
And it comes at a very special time for ICOH, our 5th anniversary year.
Yes. It's wonderful. And I didn't go to the Houston Club with Orlin because I just didn't think that being in face at the Houston Club was all that great a thing to do.
You would have stood out.
Yes, no doubt. This was an instance where their majesties had to do separate things.
I see.
And that's just, it happens that way.
It happens that way.
It does.
Yes,
it does.
Yes, it does.
You can only be in so many places so many times and be so many people, and you work with that.
Yep. You sure do. So, what's lined up for the ICOH entry?
We don't know.
Oh, a complete surprise!
There's going to be a fabulous float. I understand it's going to be a fabulous float.
Okay.
It's going to have a big tiara.
Yeah.
A big crown of tiara.
Oh, how nice!
They will tell us when and where we need to be at what time, and that's where we'll
and
be.
You'll show up and just wave to the crowd and be
if
fabulous.
If I could just find a dress.
Have you looked in your closet?
Oh, I've worn all those.
My goodness.
Hello.
We have to have a new dress, of course.
It's not like I'm entertaining a small crowd. We're talking about thousands and thousands of people.
Yes, but so many. I mean, the vast majority of those folks have never seen you.
But I have.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Okay, it's all about me.
So. You will look fabulous, my dear.
That's true. Yeah. No, it's got to be something, you know, something summery and flowing and matching shoes.
Yes.
Purse, handbag, and hair.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It all has to match.
Yes.
Yes.
And eyeshadow.
If she wears a green dress, she has to wear green hair.
There we go.
And green eyeshadow and green shoes.
Yes.
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 Since I don't have a beard right now, we got to have something that stands out.
Mm, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
One more week.
So that's exciting. That is very exciting.
It's very exciting.
And of course, it kicks off at Woodhead and Westheimer at
8:45 on Saturday evening.
8:45. What is up with 8:45? Why could we know 8:30, 9 o'clock?
I think that's the little play time in there.
Drag time.
Yeah.
Drag time.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yes. You know, getting this...
We are talking about queer.
Giant thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the parade is something that is alive, and to, you know, to start it going, you know, sometimes takes a bit of time.
Yes, it does.
There's that. And then what have we got going? What's on the calendar for...
Well, tomorrow morning we have our breakfast at Mary's at 10 a.m. To noon. And tomorrow is also the day that we have chosen to do our community service, which is for our Adopt-A-Block. And I see the Imperial Court of Houston, Space City Empire, a couple years ago adopted the blocks from Yoakum.
No, from Wa.
From about Mary's.
Yeah, Wa to...
Yeah, from Mary's down to...
To EJ's.
Down to EJ's
wow,
on Ralph.
That's down on more than one block.
To Ralph Street. So. Yeah. So tomorrow's our day to clean up Westheimer, to make it a little nicer for Gay Pride.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And so we're looking forward to that. And
Count Bill Nix is spearheading that.
Mm-hmm. And Monday night
we... Bill Nix. He does that a lot.
Yes, he does.
Yes. I'm sorry.
No, it's quite all right. Monday night, has been Monday night movie at Mary's, and when that happens, it's actually been a fun event. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, we've had snacks to go along with that.
Oh.
Wednesday night is
what time is that?
That usually starts around 7:30.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get to actually vote on what movie you're going to see.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a little box at Mary's, and you can fill out your little ballot. There's, like, choices of what's going to be.
For the next week?
For the movie, yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday night, we have our jukebox show at Mary's, and that usually starts around 8:30 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday night, Her Majesty and I and several other ICOH members are attending the Gallo Black Tie event, which is sort of...
Ballet. Oh.
Yes, my husband was very specific about how it's pronounced.
Come here.
Ballet.
It is. And come here. In the microphone, say that word.
It is baile.
Baile.
Baile. Okay. You're
bisexual, get laid.
It's a black tie event.
That's it.
The Reliant Astro.
No. This year it's at.
It's at the.
It's at the Shriners.
Mm-hmm. The Shriners.
On
yes.
Bracewood.
Okay. On
yes.
Bracewood. Sorry about that.
Yeah. They know where it is. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
And then
that's like the event.
It is. It is indeed. And we went last year. Orlin and I were actually candidates last year.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ready to be candidates. Oh, you didn't go? Well, I did, and I was fabulous.
I bet you were.
I was.
Yes.
I even danced as Ginger for the first time.
Wow.
Some cute little Latin boy. Go figure.
Mm. Yeah, anyway. I can't imagine.
No, it wasn't him.
No, I know. Mm-hmm. But, I mean...
Yeah.
You have to... Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay.
That hangy skin and all of that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, Orlin. I'm fantasizing here.
It is all real.
Whoa! Score one for Orlin.
Ooh, yes.
Well, we got that from a coronation, which is something that our organization, you know, that's when the monarchs step down and the new monarchs step up, and we were at a coronation, and there was a hot man there, and each time he'd come up to us, you know, we'd admire him, and he'd say, "It's all real."
Yeah.
So that has sort of become one of our little sayings.
Yeah.
It's all real.
Wow.
So
nice saying.
We digress. And it's so fabulous.
Yes. So we have that on Friday night, and of course the parade on Saturday night.
Yes.
And after hours, we'll of course be on after the parade to do a recap.
Tomorrow night, also Sunday evening, is the finale for the Pride Idol. And so we're going to try to make that event as grand marshals.
Is that where's that happening?
That's at Guava Lamp over off of...
it's on Wall now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, it's on Wall. It's right on the same street that Stages Repertory Theater is on. Mm-hmm. It's right there. In the
very close to Allen Parkway.
Yes. D'Amico and Wall Drive.
Yeah, it's right on the the end of a
shopping center, right.
Okay.
Strip center.
Yeah. Well, I've never seen anybody stripping there.
And my imperial wife here, she might want to talk about what's coming up on the 1st of July, the Miss Thang.
Yeah.
Yes, since you are Miss Thang,
Her
Texas.
Most imperial majesty is the current reigning Miss Thang, Texas.
It's held in conjunction of the same night as the Miss Texas pageant.
She'll be falling down. I mean, stepping down this year.
No, you had it right the first time.
Actually, this is really fun. Mine and Orleans Crown Prince Royal, Craig Farrell, for the last several years has been one of the producers for the Miss Texas pageant in Corpus Christi.
Laredo.
Is that where it is in Laredo?
Mm-hmm.
Corpus, Laredo, Waco, El Paso.
Right,
it's all
right
somewhere
now,
out
right
west.
Right now it's in Laredo.
This is Texas, honey.
It's all somewhere out west.
If you're in Corpus and you're supposed to be in Laredo, you got a ways to go.
That's okay. Just have a couple of cocktails and you won't even worry about it.
Okay.
Anyway, he's been one of the producers for several years. And last year, it was decided that it would be fun to tie in our group with that.
Yes.
So what happens is, when they get down to the last five contestants, Craig will call Judy, our imperial princess.
Yes.
Your imperial wife.
She's the one who dreamed all this up.
Yes. And let her know who the five states are.
Yes.
And then five of our, quote, girls will be those states.
Announced as the runners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it kind of spirals downwards from there.
And then when the winner is announced, whoever is holding that particular title.
Right. The fun thing about it is you have no idea who's going to win.
No. You don't, and it doesn't really matter who you are.
It's not rigged. It's just...
Yeah. It is what it is. And it was a lot of fun. It really was. And it's going to be fun this year to do it again.
Yes.
And we've got, like we said earlier, we've got a lot of new talent.
And it's now a two-day event.
And it's now we have the talent contest on the 30th of June, which is going to be fabulous because we've got, and I'm guessing they're not listening to the radio simply because, I was approached a few weeks ago when I was at Tony's in drag. There's going to be a bachelorette party there that night.
Yes.
And the girl that's getting married has never been to a gay bar. She's never been to a drag show. She doesn't know she's going to a drag bar or going to a gay bar or a drag show. So it's going to be a really fun night. That's the talent night.
Yes.
On the 30th at Tony's Corner Pocket on West Dallas.
Yeah, 8:30. At 8:30, right?
Okay. Yes.
Well,
8:30, 9-ish.
Yeah.
And then, so that'll be fabulous.
Yes, it will.
That will be fabulous.
Yes, it will.
And then on the following evening is it the BRB? No, this year it's changed. Last year it was the BRB.
One moment, please. It's going to be at the BRB.
Yes.
Okay, so it's Saturday night at Tony's. I was thinking it was a Friday.
Saturday night,
And then Sunday night at the BRB is when the actual, quote, pageant takes place.
Yes. Yes.
There won't be any judges because we don't like to judge.
Actually, there will be a couple of judges.
Okay.
Because there will be awards given for, like, Miss Congeniality.
Oh, yes, of course.
And I was Miss Tacky. Yes.
No competition. Hello.
Judy and I think up those things.
But Ginger will be stepping down, and hopefully someone who's worthy will be stepping up.
Yes, we certainly
will. If I recall, you were Miss Texas.
I was.
Miss Thang, Texas.
I was Miss Thang, Texas.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes.
It was fun.
You kind of got off easy because for the first Miss Thang, Texas, there were no requirements.
Correct.
I mean,
and I'm the Empress. Hello.
You got the title and that's it. I mean, this year we're thinking about asking the winner of Miss Thang, Texas to put on a couple of fundraisers, you know, during her
year. Well, I think that's a fabulous idea.
Sure. Yeah.
That's
and
a fabulous
this
idea.
Year, and for the rest of our reign until October 20th, we are raising money for Legacy Community Health Services, the drug assistance program, and which is very near and dear to both my Empress and I. And then, as with all of our events for ICOH, 15% go to the Lexi Bowen Community Fund, which you can obtain information from that by...
I want to talk a little bit about the Lexi Bowen Community Fund, because you say that, but it doesn't have a lot of meaning to people. They don't know what it is and what it's for.
It's a fund that is set up for people who are experiencing something in their lives that are not HIV.
Mm-hmm.
It can be an illness. It can be some other, just something in their lives that they need to try to get some help with. And they and they can make an individual request.
Yes.
And they're dealt by a case-by-case basis.
Yes, but this is specifically for non-HIV.
For non-HIV,
basically, you have to prove that you tested negative for HIV within the last 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to prove that there's a need. You know, doctor bills, dentist bills, is there a death in the family, do you need to travel? I mean, the money is there for any kind of need that you
have. Emergency need, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot out there.
Some other illness.
Yes. Absolutely. There's a lot out there for HIV and AIDS patients. There really isn't anything for anyone else.
It's sort of like the Colt 45s for non-AIDS and HIV people.
Correct. And it's you can get up to $1,000 per calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
Per applicant. Again, you have to prove that you're not HIV positive. And it's all anonymous. No one. One person that knows who it is. That would be the chairman of that particular charity. And it's a fabulous thing. And we actually have quite a bit of money in there right now.
Yes.
And we're looking for people who need it and need the help. And you can actually contact us at, they've got an address set up. It's not Monarchs.
It's the web. Can't they go to the website?
Yeah, they can actually go to spacecityempire.org.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, if they want to contact Monarchs at spacecityempire.org, we can get them in touch with the people they need to get in touch with. The phone numbers are on the website,
mm-hmm.
and there's actually an answering machine. You can leave your phone number. Someone will call you back. It's a fabulous thing. And again, everything we do during the rain, 15% of everything we do goes into that fund.
Yes, yes.
So it's a great thing. It's a great thing.
And speaking of emergencies and things like that in the community, and bad news,
mm-hmm.
We've had some bad news lately in our organization.
Yes.
That a very close friend of the Imperial Court of Houston was murdered.
Yes.
It's been on the news.
It has.
Ken Cummings, mm-hmm. Jr. And I have to say, I'm not making light of anything, but that was the most horrible picture on the news that I've ever seen.
I did not see it. I did not see it.
He didn't look anything like that. He was very nice looking.
Yes.
People who've been watching the news know what happened. He was murdered, and the story is that there was so much blood at the apartment that when they found the suspect, they arrested him and charged him with murder.
Before
they even found the body.
Yeah.
The man eventually confessed,
mm-hmm.
and but did not say where the body was. And tonight on the news, they announced they had found the body.
San Antonio.
In San Antonio on the
Equifax actually got a tip. Equifax.
EquiSearch.
I'm sorry. Yeah. EquiSearch actually got a tip on Thursday, I think it was, that they needed to be looking in San Antonio. So they actually moved the operations to San Antonio. I don't know what the tip was or where it came from or anything else, but it was obviously a good tip because he was found, as I understand it, on the gentleman who allegedly murdered him. It was his grandfather's property.
That's right. His farm
there. Yeah. Yes.
And the only good thing about this is that it will help to bring a little bit of closure to Ken's immediate family as well as all his best friends and even his employees. I mean, not his employees, but his co-workers from Southwest Airlines. And
who have been out with EquiSearch looking.
It will give them a little, to help the healing and the closure for his
loss. Because he has some close friends here at
ICOH.
As a matter of fact, Craig, mine and Orleans, Crown Prince Royale, they've been best friends for, I don't know, 20, 25 years.
Since high school.
Like
And we've all been concerned about him too, and his other dear friends in ICOH as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's a sad thing, but if it has to come out, if you can look for anything good about it, they have found him. He will be reunited with his family, and the services will take place, and all that.
So, and the perpetrator has been caught.
Yeah, he's confessed.
And so there'll be a trial, and he'll get his just due. But as always, as we've been doing for 20 years, this is a memorial.
Absolutely.
Because he was a friend of ICOH and a friend of the community, a part of the community.
Yes.
And his life was taken well before it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
So as I end this evening with the Royals, and thank you for helping me with this memorial, I've got a piece of music from Sarah McLachlan that's a particular favorite of mine.
We will all miss him.
Yes, thank you.
Spend all your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction. Thank you.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? And why should my heart be lonely? For heaven, yes, heaven is my home. For Jesus is my portion and a constant friend is he. If his eye is on that little bitty sparrow, then I know he watches me. If his eye is on the sparrow, then I know he watches me. So I sing because I'm happy.
Yes, I'm happy.
And I sing
because
I'm free. Yeah. It is I. So I sing
because
I'm happy.
I sing because I'm happy.
And I sing
because
I'm free.
Yeah.
His eyes
is on the sparrow.
Then I know
he watches over me.
Well, I looked over Jordan and walked, and
watching over me, yeah.
The angels coming after me.
Watching over me.
And if I should die before I wake,
he's watching over me, yeah.
Well, I thank the Lord of my soul today.
Watching over me.
So I sing because.
Turn your face away. something inside so strong. I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone.
Oh no,
oh no, there's something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong. Something inside so strong.
The more you refuse to hear my voice, the louder I will sing.
I will sing.
The more you refuse the things I need, the more I want everything. Deny my place in time, you squander wealth that's mine.
My light will shine
so brightly it will blind you.
Blind you.
But there's
something inside so strong.
Oh,
I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone.
Oh no,
oh no, there's something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Oh no, something inside so strong.
Brothers and sisters, when they insist we're just not good enough.
Not good enough.
We're gonna do it anyway.
Say, we're gonna do it anyway.
Say,
we're gonna do it anyway.
Say,
we're gonna do it anyway.
Cause there's
something inside so strong.
Oh,
I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone. Something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Oh, no, something inside so strong.
Something inside.
Something inside.
Something inside.
Something inside.
There's something so strong. It's so strong.
That was the Flirtations with Something Inside So Strong. Before that was Mark Allen Smith with Eye on the Sparrow. And before that was Sarah McLachlan with Angel. Try to see if I can stretch out a little bit more on this. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Here on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Top of the show, we played a promo for the Pacifica Gay Pride special. I don't know when it's going to be. They tell you to go to the KPFT website, and there's no information on there. So hopefully someone will put some information on that as we get ready here. And so let's play that again. So just so you remember, to listen sometime during the week. Hopefully it'll be on. Probably it'll be on next Sunday. But hit a couple of PSAs, and then coming up at the top of the hour, it's going to be Black on Black.
Years after Stonewall, lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgender people are celebrating Pride Day around the globe. We're still fighting for basic human rights. We're fighting for our lives from Serbia and Lebanon to the Castro District. We'll look at AIDS organizing, Latino LGBT organizing, transgender rights, and the contribution of queer intellectuals, and much, much more. Tune in to Pacifica's LGBT special called Pride and Resistance. Check your local station's website for details.
Pride Houston presents its 29th annual Gay Pride Festival and Parade, Saturday, June 23rd, in the heart of Montrose. Festival entertainment featuring Nemesis and Kimberly Caldwell, and informational booths open at 2 p.m. Parade starts at 8:45. Don't miss the fun of this spectacular event. For details, check out pridehouston.org or call 713-529-6979. Again, don't forget to mark your calendars for Saturday, June 23rd, the Gay Pride Festival and Parade. This is KBFT, Houston.
Welcome to the colored section. Welcome to the Negro League. Sign your name on a blacklist and know this. It's American history. See what it is to be blackmailed.
Blackmailed.
See a real life. Sign your name on a blacklist and know this, it's American history.
Thank you for joining us on Black on Black on KPFT 90.1. We are so glad to have you. And in the studio audience, we actually have two individuals. You want to introduce yourself, ladies?
Hi, I'm Donna West.
Hi, and I'm Cheryl Kyle.
And they are joining me after a wonderful evening of food, drink, and music. We were discussing something in the neighborhood of kindred spirits, and I'm certainly blessed and elated to have these ladies come into my life. We've had a wonderful evening reminiscing on music and listening to new music, and it's good to find music fans. We are going to delve into one of the first issues that struck me in the face Monday or Tuesday morning, is that Isaiah Washington will no longer be coming to Grey's Anatomy. He is certainly now a victim of the watch what you say syndrome, or you will be on your way, following in the footsteps of Don Imus. And there are those African-American individuals who are now lobbying for his return to the show. And I want to know, do you think maybe it's fair for them, or does it make sense for them to lobby to have him back on the show after the comments that he made in the face of Don Imus being ejected from CBS based on some comments that he made? Do you think it's fair?
Well, Christopher, it's absolutely, you know, an individual prerogative to lobby for him, of course. However, in terms of fairness, that's an individual preference as well. I do believe if it's good in one arena, it should be good in another arena. If we are going to have a zero tolerance, then it must be a zero tolerance. Otherwise, you know, it's not zero. It's half baked. So if we want one arena to be mindful of their speech and its impact, then we have to present that as well in the other arena. His statements were insensitive, ill thought, and ill prepared, and that is the consequences of those actions.
Exactly. There is a consensus amongst some of the supposed black leaders, of which I still have a problem with. I don't know who elected them as our black leaders. Al Sharpton is one that comes to mind. Is there was a certain fervor concerning the rap industry within the first couple of weeks, and maybe even a month after the Don Imus issue. That fervor is gone because you don't hear about it anymore. You don't hear any of that pressure again. And I think one of the most hypocritical things that I see is that R. Kelly is at the top of the charts again after doing what he did. I saw the video. That's R. Kelly in that video. I don't care what anybody says. But what amazes me is the support that he still receives after it's very much well known that he committed a pedophile act with this young lady. But it amazes me that we still, as a whole community, support him and support his music and buys his music. And I'm trying to find out, how different do you think that situation would have been had the individual in the video been a young man, had it been a little boy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that kind of goes without being said. You know, we are a society of double jeopardy. It's no different than our pedophilias in the school system. For years, women were not considered, and still even now are not considered, to be pedophiles, when pedophilia has been alive and well amongst women since the beginning mm-hmm. of time. We rear our males in our society that if they have sexual relations with a older female, that's a rite of passage.
Mm-hmm.
We condemn our males if they have sexual relations with a female underage. No doubt, had it been a male in the video, there would be a tremendous outcry. But that's because of the outcry against gay and lesbian relationships anyway. Why we support his music, you know, that's a can of worms. You know, there's going to be opinions all across mm-hmm. the board. Personally, I don't care for his music. That's just my own personal taste. It doesn't do anything for me, regardless of the video or not. Why is there no sanction behind? And I guess that, you know, that there are a lot of issues behind that. You know, if they can prove it's him, if they couldn't,
mm-hmm.
why they support it, I don't know. We are a society now that the more depraved you are, the more popular you become.
Are.
So, you know, it's an interesting animal all within itself.
We are going to be looking at, on Sunday, there is going to be on BET, there's going to be a special entitled Black Men, the Truth. This has challenges many of the negative myths, assumptions, and ideas that are linked to black males in the U.S., what this show is supposed to cover. And one of the interesting points is that they are going to cover black male homosexuality. And I'm certainly looking forward to this, because on the panel, there is going to be Chris Webber, Steve Harvey, Tyler Perry, Alan Houston, Idris Elba, and Barack Obama. So I'm certainly interested in seeing what they have to say about that. But as a female, I don't even know, do you listen to a lot of hip-hop music?
Not really, Christopher. Okay. I mean, I enjoy music. I have to be in a mood for it. but, you know, for me, art is, you know, I sift my art.
Mm-hmm.
There are times I'm more interested in one area than I am another.
Okay.
As far as the hip-hop industry, I think, you know, hip-hop, it has a place. It surely has a place. I believe it does. It's an art form, and a legitimate art form. And like all art, it can become abstract. So with that, you know, I keep that in mind. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I think you were going in the line of being a female. My thought on the perpetuation of stereotyping females. Well, my thought with that is women have to become more empowered themselves. Women sit around with other women and call one another derogatory names, and you know that's acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But then it comes from another area, you want to be upset and offended.
Okay.
I'm a female that either I'm upset and offended all the time or none of the time.
Okay.
You know, now I'm not a dog. I don't walk around on four legs. I don't have a tail. You know, I don't wag.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mark my territory, not in that vein, anyway. So, you know, I think we need to be more conscious.
Mm-hmm.
We must become more empowered and more conscious. But you have to. I believe you look at that from a societal whole. When it becomes the end thing, a cool thing for
mm-hmm.
females to degrade themselves, then you've given the permission.
Exactly.
You know, when it's become a hip thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you casually toss it and say, well, that's just what we say, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's just among friends. Well, if you don't mind your friends degrading you, if you don't see it as degradation,
exactly,
then it becomes acceptable. And, you know, again, I believe it becomes a matter of your own political voice,
okay.
and what you stand for and when you stand for it.
Okay.
So,
One of the points we've been looking at is the impact of hip hop on young African American, whether they be male or female. The impact. I believe during the 50s and 60s, music played a instrumental role in defining the feeling and the movement of the people that listen to it. For one example, Aretha Franklin's Respect spoke to what African Americans at that time were striving for, trying to achieve. It seems now that music has it doesn't so much as identify a movement or a struggle, but it actually starts a movement. It defines to a generation how they're supposed to act instead of defining a generation and how they act. Do you see anywhere in the future where hip hop will not have that impact? Or are we looking at a long term influx of influence from hip hop artists teaching? I think it's more effective, or it's being more influential on African American males than females. Some of the language and the stance that they take towards one another, towards their place in society, towards education. Do you see that continuing? I mean, for another 10, 15,
absolutely,
20 years?
Okay. Absolutely, no doubt. And the reason I see that is the money. It's the money behind it. The money is the machine. I don't believe. I remember when hip hop originally came out, mm-hmm. At least when I became aware of it, and it was very statement filled.
Mm-hmm.
The original rappers came from a place of experience. They literally came from the street, and they talked about their street life experience.
Mm-hmm.
It was poetry set in motion. It was their way of cleansing themselves from what they saw mm-hmm. around them all the time. I believe what you have now is just money talking. Though I am not a diehard rap fan, so I'm sure there are other artists out there that are still speaking of life's
mm-hmm.
events and mm-hmm. occurrences. What I do hear, which is commercialized and popularized, is the money angle.
Okay.
You know, it's about the bling, and I got this, and I got that. And as far as the females are concerned, I think they're just as bad.
Okay.
I think they're just as bad. They've lost all their femininity. You know, they're just like the guys. They're just as hard, and they're just as rough.
Okay.
And I think it's all about monetary perpetuation, because the harder you are, the rougher you are, the coarser you are, the more commercialized you
exactly.
are. And I think it's just a money thing. I don't even think if, in my opinion, mm-hmm. and these are just my thoughts, you sit down and talk to some of these cats, you know, they have no experience to share with you. What experience do they have? Other than they want some rims and a grill and the bling.
Yeah.
Is it going to go away? Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. It's a monetary streamline, and what are our young kids striving for? They want to be rap stars. You know, television perpetuates that. We've got dozens of reality shows, you know, glorifying,
mm-hmm.
you know, do this mm-hmm. and make that. Of course, that's not the realism.
Exactly.
We know that. That's not the real world. But no, it's not going anywhere.
Have you ever sat down and thought about, or maybe have some type of initiative or some type of program for mentorship? How can someone interested in being a mentor start a mentorship program, even if it's not on a formal level or through an actual organization? I think we may have had
we talked about that. Yes, we did. We did. You see, my thought is this: we mentor every day.
Okay.
We are influencing lives absolutely every day. You know, mentorship is just living life by example. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just life's example. And we influence people through our examples.
Okay.
That's how we motivate change,
mm-hmm.
through example. You know, I'm a firm believer. You have to be very mindful of what you do because someone is always watching you.
Exactly.
And you may not know how many lives you've touched. You may not know that impact. People may not come back to you and tell you what you've done mm-hmm. for them along the way, but you've done something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good, bad, or indifferent. You've done something. Someone is always looking at you in some form of admiration.
Okay.
Starting a mentor group, we mentor every day.
Okay.
Again, it doesn't have to be formalized. It already is.
Okay.
It just is. And I believe as African Americans, one of my jobs, one of my purposes, one of my roles is to be mindful. To be mindful of those that I'm around. Be mindful of myself. To be respectful of myself. I do my ancestors a terrible injustice mm-hmm. if I do anything else.
Okay. When do you think you came into that knowledge? Or have you always walked in that vein and always understood that about your life?
I believe, as the old folks say, I was an old soul. You know, that's what I was always told. As the youngest in my family, I think being reared around so many elders,
mm-hmm.
There's a 10-year gap between myself and my older sister, and I think even things like that, just that gap
okay.
helps you have a certain kind of maturity.
Okay.
I was a child that was reared around a lot of adults, so even as a young child, I heard the stories, mm-hmm. and I heard the challenges, and I heard the struggles, and then I was able to see that as well, and those things, I believe, helped shape me, make me, mold me.
Okay.
So I continue that right now. I believe, you know, my job is to, just in my daily walk,
mm-hmm.
be mindful of where I came from, who I am a product of, the struggles and the sacrifices okay. that were made. So I think it was always there.
Okay. I am currently, I wrote a piece and I actually didn't bring it to my sister concerning my nephew, and it was my hope that I be an example for him. It's entitled What He Sees in Me, and what he sees in me is I hope something that he would hope to be. But getting back to the Black Men, the Truth, this is going to air on Sunday on BET at I believe it's 11 o'clock Central. Is it 11 o'clock Central, or I have to verify. I'm not sure what time it is, but it's going to air. So if you check your local listing, you'll be able to find that. And I think that's going to be really interesting, especially with Barack Obama on this panel. And going into Barack Obama, what do you think about his running for president?
I think it's a wonderful thing. I think he has a lot to offer the country. I like his political stance in a lot of areas. So there's no absolute for me in that.
Okay.
I mean, there's some things I like and some things I dislike. There's no totality in it. I think the timing is good.
Okay.
But it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it will never be a great time, you know, for us as African Americans. I think it's interesting.
Okay.
I think it's very, very interesting. I'm impressed with the support that he has. I'm very
okay.
impressed with that. Very interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing this documentary
I think this is going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
What I found funny was is that there's a report that Obama and Clinton were in a battle for Steven Spielberg's approval.
Okay.
Why Steven Spielberg?
Of all the people.
Of all people.
Yeah.
What, I mean, does he have a following so large that, I mean, people would follow his political agenda? I mean, whoever he supported politically?
Well, you know, stranger things have happened. Who's to say, you know? Stranger things have happened. You know, the Hollywood machine is a very, very big power struggle. So,
that's true.
Structure. So, you know, who knows?
That's true. I, have a friend whose grandmother passed away, and I believe, if I'm not, I can't remember her last name, but they call her Granny, and this is the Phelps family's mother. So we would like to dedicate this song by Diane Reeves to his family, and send our love and support and condolences to his family. Diane Reeves' grandma's song.
so well. The best times I ever had with my grandma was on Saturday night. 'Cause that's when you got ready to go to church on Sunday morning. And around about 7:30 or 8 o'clock, my grandma will say, "Diane, it's time for you to take your bath." And I'd go into the bathroom. There in the bathtub would be some nice, warm bubble bath. Now you see, my mama always had to fight with me to get in the tub. But when Grandma said it, it sounded like it was the right thing to do. And she put me in that tub, she made it so fun. She put my rubber duckies and my little frog in too, and my bubbles, and let me splash around a little while. Then she'd come in, the most beautiful hands, soft, and she would scrub me up, then rinse me off, dry me off, and grease me down, just like that. She put me in those little flannel pajamas, you know, the kind with the feet in them, even in the summertime. You didn't catch any colds around her. Then we'd go into the bedroom, and we'd kneel by the side of the bed, and that's where I learned how to say my prayer. I can hear it in my mind. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then she put me in the bed, tucked me in, me in the middle of my forehead and say, "Child, you can be anything you wanna be, 'cause God says so and Grandma says so too." And I go right to sleep, dreaming of flying. I miss those dreams. Then early in the morning.
Thank you. We are back. That was Diane Reeves and Grandma's song. I love that song. Again, that goes out to Granny, to the Phelps family and their recent loss. For the entire year, we're supposed to be doing a... everything is supposed to be themed around personal growth. And at the beginning of the year, there was a young gentleman that I had come into contact with, and he had started on a transparency theme for his life and becoming transparent to himself and to his friends and to his family. And I found it very interesting that a part of transparency is being very truthful with yourself and the people around you. So that's what we're going to go into now. And I think it certainly has something to do with the program that's going to be airing tomorrow about the black male experience in America. But a couple of the items that fall under personal growth is one, discovering who you are. I think that's quite important. I don't know. Do you think there's a certain age, by a certain age, you should know who you are? Or do you think it's an ever-evolving?
Absolutely. I think it's just an ever-evolving cycle. I don't think that there's anything in black and white that at a certain age you know, a woman should come into this awareness, or at a certain age, a male should come into this awareness. I think, well, life is a continuous cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout that cycle, you are coming into growth.
Okay. What about, how much outside influence do you think should be involved in your personal growth? In reference to maybe if you have a spouse or family members or friends, how much influence do you think they should have in reference to your personal growth?
That's an interesting question. How much should they have?
Or do you think they have any part at all?
Oh, they absolutely play a part. You know, your environment, like the sun, like the wind, like the rain, plays a part.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know, like the elements affect the flower's growth. Your environment is going to affect your growth. Your family relationships, your interpersonal relationships.
Okay.
Absolutely. Now, how much of an influence? That becomes an interesting animal within itself. I believe, you know, the challenge is to, once you become an authentic person, you can filter those influences.
Now, some people may not understand the term authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Could you want to elaborate on what
authentic? Being genuine, being real, being
okay.
Whole. A tree is an authentic animal. It is just what it is. It's a tree.
Mm-hmm.
The sun is authentic. It is what it is. It's the sun. It's a source of life. When you become an authentic person, you are just who you are. You are genuine and whole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whole becomes something else. And it's also talented.
And I think part of the struggle in becoming authentic is there is so much stuff coming at you from friends, from family, from TV, from the media, from the music, about what we're supposed to be. And I find it very difficult in the face of being told what I'm supposed to be to finding the strength to be who I really am. Because I think a large part of our personality is built on thriving off and yearning for acceptance. We all want to be accepted.
Absolutely.
We want to find a place where we're comfortable, where we can supposedly be ourselves. But I think oftentimes we find ourselves emulating and falling into a character that really is not us, because we feel like if I'm really who I'm supposed to be, then I won't have the connection that we certainly strive for. What advice would you give a young person who is striving to find the authentic person in their life? Because when you're at, let's say, from age 18 to 25,
mm-hmm.
when you're trying to find that authentic place, what advice could you give someone to handle the pressure, the bombardment of different ideas and social structures that they may be told that they have to put themselves into?
Turn off the television.
Okay.
Turn off the radio.
Okay.
That would be my first thing.
Okay.
Turn it off.
How big do you think we're into image? How image conscious?
We're ridiculous about it.
Okay.
We're so ridiculous about it that I was watching a program or a snippet of a program one evening that spoke on how we have manipulated our physical body so.
Okay.
To fit images. You know, we're puffing up our lips and, you know, we've got the breast implants,
mm-hmm.
and the butt implants and the liposuction and da-da-da-da-da-da. The hair, everything's implant.
Mm-hmm.
To the point, you know, the average person you meet,
okay.
you know, there's something added, taken away.
Okay.
We're bombarded with those images of beauty and...
Mm-hmm.
My challenge is, why aren't we bombarded with images of intelligence? Where is that, you know? But it doesn't happen. It's always interesting to me when you can play a sport and make more money than an educator.
That is...
So what would I say to a young person? Turn off the television.
Okay.
Turn off the radio. And turn off your family if you need
to. If you have to.
Absolutely. I mean, turn them off. And that's when you began to search and seek out who you really are,
okay.
who you were born and birthed to be.
Okay.
You know, life is very simple. We make it difficult. We complicate life with all these other dynamics,
mm-hmm.
and degrees. you know, people won't leave out the house if they don't think they have on the right clothes or don't own the right thing.
You know what? It took me years. I think when I turned 30, I would get dressed up to go check the mailbox. What was going on was I didn't like the physical because I had been told, you're not light enough. You're not slim enough.
Absolutely.
You have very African features. You know, you're not. Basically, what they were telling me, you don't look good enough. So what I did was let me dress up the outside and maybe it, you know, it'll kind of come up to par. And it finally dawned on me, the person that told me that was ugly as hell. And I'm like, why did I let you tell me?
Of all the people.
Of all people that I didn't look well. So it took me until the age of 30 to learn that I can leave the house with a baseball cap on, a t-shirt, and some raggedy jeans and still feel, and still know my value.
Absolutely.
And not have my value tied up into labels. You know, you have a credit card.
That's maxed out. Yeah,
because you're trying to keep up with image. And I see it on a daily basis, young people who are buying into this stigma that you have to look a certain way and you have to dress a certain way, and they lose themselves in that. And so it frightens me about what is the future going to look like. For one, they're all going to look the same and act the same.
Absolutely.
The individuality concept that was so big
in the
60s, you know, is gone. It's all about assimilation. And making sure I fit in and I look the part, which is quite dangerous. So I'm really, my objective is to give young people a point of reference that gives them or empowers them to take themselves out of or take themselves away from an environment that would have them box themselves in and make a cookie cutter person out of them.
You know, I think, Christopher, one of the beauties of life to me is that it'll never happen. The cookie cutter syndrome, it'll never happen. I mean, there are going to always be individuals that are going to step out of the box. Thank God. You know, that just happens. There's going to be another rebellion. There's going to be another renaissance. It's going to happen. You know, life has an amazing way of shaking itself off. You know, it's like a storm. I revel in the beauty of a storm. You know, I was talking on the phone today to a friend of mine. It's raining, it's misting, and as I'm looking out my window, I'm just in absolute awe of the different shades of green. Because, you know, the earth has cleansed itself. And I see that. And I'm sitting there in absolute awe of the beauty of what nature does all by itself. So, you know, it'll never happen. We won't all turn into clones, you know. We won't all turn into clones because there'll be a renaissance. There'll be a rebellion. There'll be people like you and I. We'll have these dialogues and there'll be a consciousness and, you know, somewhere else someone is having a round table discussion doing the same thing. And that's the beauty of life. It will shake itself off. It will, as it tenses and tightens, it will shake itself and cleanse itself and give itself a new birth. So we won't have to worry about that.
So that is, I am in the process. Someone lit a fire in me about a mentorship program, and I'm certainly going to go forward with that. And I think what is so important is there's a question that came up one time. It says, what is your compass in life? And very few people could answer that question.
Sure.
What do you think your compass is in your life?
I think many things.
Okay.
Many things. It's surely not just a absolute, you know, straightforward answer.
Okay.
It's not one thing.
Okay.
And as my life continues to evolve, it will change and be other things. At this point in my life right now, one is to stay genuine and be authentic, because through that's how I influence other people. Staying true to myself, you know, continue to strive and share my life and my life experiences with others, and be, again, I believe you're a mentor all the time. Be as motivating and encouraging as I possibly can be in all the things that I do. I believe that's one of the things I was birthed to do.
Chris, there is the last song, Elizabeth Withers. This young lady is starring in The Color Purple, the New York production, Suge Avery is the character that she's playing. She's an absolutely phenomenal actress, and she's an even better singer. And I ran across this song on her recently released CD, and it really goes to what we're talking about now, the theme for the year of personal growth. And so we're going to take a listen to that song, and it's entitled Even If the World Ain't Ready.
She had a mind of a woman and a body of a man. No one she talked to would wanna understand. Spent her lonely days pretending, somehow fitting in. But at night she'd put her high heels on, showing her sexy skin. She'd tear up the dance floor, breaking every rule. Get too close, afraid to be exposed.
That was Elizabeth Withers, Even If the World Ain't Ready. What do you think about that song?
Oh, that was absolutely fantastic. I mean, it tied completely in with the subject matter at hand.
I was amazed when I found that song on there. But it speaks to the second part of the young lady marrying a man when she really didn't want to. Do you think a lot of that out? What would make a family, if you know that's not her heart, why would you put that off on her? I know it's a story that happens quite often with men and women.
It's an everyday story. It's, you know, it's so not unique, unfortunately. I believe what happens is that families are so caught up in what people are going to think.
Mm-hmm.
if you really love and love unconditionally, then you accept unconditionally.
Exactly.
That's the only way you can love unconditionally. And families, they say they do, but it's always with a restriction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll try this first, and if it doesn't change, then maybe.
Mm-hmm.
My partner and I have been together for 23 years and known each other a total of about 25, maybe 26. We don't keep too much count anymore. one of the things that we did early on was make a commitment to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And the commitment even meant, you know, now we're family.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, as they say in the heterosexual community, you know, when a man takes a wife and a, mm-hmm. and a wife takes a husband, you forsake your
exactly.
that family and now your family. Well, we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant, you know, you are the person that I'm choosing to spend my life with.
Exactly.
So now you are my family. You are my number one priority. Now my birth family comes second.
Okay.
You are that number one priority. Why do people push you in directions and they know that's not your heart? Because of the stigma, because of the ignorance, because of the bigotry and the bias behind
mm-hmm.
it. Religion plays such a critical role in that. But I believe at the end of the day, when it all boils down, they're not authentic. They're so worried about what other people are going to think
mm-hmm.
that they would sacrifice like a lamb to slaughter. They would sacrifice those that they say they love to save face. So,
Miss Cheryl, I'm sitting over there mighty quiet. Did you have anything to add to that?
Mm-hmm. I'm just taking it all in, enjoying this wonderful topic.
It is. It's certainly been an honor. I want to thank you too for joining me this evening at the house, and then now here doing this. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'll state it again: when you run into genuine people, you what you want to do is get a deadbolt lock
there
and some chains,
there you go.
And attach
hold on
yourself
there you go. There
to
you go.
Them because
mm-hmm.
it's rare. You know, you
mm-hmm.
you go through people,
sure.
And even if it's for a short time, the impact
mm-hmm.
the short time I've known you that you've
mm-hmm.
had on my life, it'll never be forgotten. And you take bits and pieces of that and then you go on with
absolutely.
That and you try to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, I want to treat someone better than the
mm-hmm.
way you've treated me, and I want to keep that going. It's all a part of personal growth, and especially being around someone who's been together for as long as you all have been. That is amazing to me, and it's something I would certainly oh, God, that means I would be almost 60-something by the time I reach that stage. But certainly looking forward to that day when it happens. I am still single, so if anybody knows somebody, they do have to have a FICO score of
735
plus.
There you go, there you go, there you go.
I'm just sorry. It's a requirement at this stage and age of
absolutely.
My life.
Absolutely.
So, but as far as the personal growth is, we're going to keep this theme going for the remainder of the year, and trying to have people come in. There's one other thing I wanted you to answer
mm-hmm.
before we sign off. Could you define emotional clutter?
Wow. Have you ever been to someone's house and you walk
my
in?
My sister's, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I love your sister. You cut that out. You hush that up. You hush that up. You walk into someone's house and they're just piles of stuff. You know, there's dishes in the sink and, you know, on the side
mm-hmm.
of the sofa, it's, you know, 7 weeks worth of newspapers. And on the other side of the table, there are 7 years worth of magazines
mm-hmm.
that haven't been read, you know. And you open up a closet and, my God, you're afraid of what might come tumbling
mm-hmm.
out. It's the same thing internally. Emotional clutter is just years of garbage that we've just got piled up.
Mm-hmm.
And the tragedy of that is we inflict that on other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're riding down the street, road rage. That's all that is. That's just emotional chaos, emotional bottled up garbage, you know, because you're holding on to things you should have let go a long time
mm-hmm.
ago. So now you're going to take it out on the other folks on the road. You go to work and you got a headache and you're mad at everybody. You kicking over the trash can
mm-hmm.
and you're cursing people out under your breath. Emotional garbage, the clutter.
How would you tell somebody to let that go? How do you instruct someone who's never
let it go?
Okay.
Let it go. See, again, life is very simple. We make it complicated. Let it go. It really is that simple. Now, the challenge becomes in doing it, because we become so accustomed to dragging this around that it's just a part of us, and we don't even know how to let it go. It really is that simple. I don't believe, you know, let me tell you something. You can go to therapy for 10 years and be held hostage by that therapist. Because that therapist needs you. Because they need to be needed. Now, that doesn't mean don't go to therapy. That just means find you a healthy therapist. That's all. You know, life is simple. Okay. We complicate it. How do you tell somebody, let it go? Let it go. Do what needs to be done to get it off of you. If that means writing it down on a piece of paper, if that means shouting it out. But whatever it is, whatever experiences we've had, the optive word is had. It's past tense. It's over. It's done with. It's gone. Why are you still carrying it? Why are you still holding on to it? What's the point? How's it working for you? Is that working for you?
Okay. I think I'm letting all of mine go. I'm hoping.
Let it go.
But again, this year is about personal growth, and so I want to thank you too for joining me here. It's been great. Chris, you're wonderful. As always, you're a beaut. Oh, I saw your 360 page too.
What?
No, not your 360 page. It was your 360. Don't you have a 360 page? Or a MySpace? I wasn't supposed to say that.
The Yahoo 360?
Yeah. But you denied my friendship. Yeah, you did.
I did?
Yeah. You sent back a denial.
I don't follow my, if that's my Yahoo 360, I don't do anything with that.
Maybe it expired.
It's possible.
Okay, maybe that's what happened.
Because
I was going to come in here and tear all this stuff up. Deny my 360, my
emotional.
I don't
clutter.
Pay attention. I don't. I don't pay attention to that. Or was it the high five?
No, it was Yahoo 360.
Oh.
It was Yahoo 360. But again, well, you fix it. That's all I have to say. Fix it. I'm going to send the invitation again.
I don't pay attention to that.
Well, start.
Well, wait a minute. Now, hold on. I'll have to ask you which email address you sent it, which one you're talking about.
It was the good one, the clean one.
Oh, that I don't have. Hell, I don't pay attention to that profile.
But again,
you got to narrow it down. I only respond to 6 Yahoo addresses.
Oh, Chris.
Wow.
Depending on which hat I'm wearing. There's my clean account. There's my dirty account. My dirty account. The radio show. My national secretary, I'm secretary for a national organization, at least for another couple of months. There's that email address.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry I put all that pressure on you. I'll just send it again. But again, thank you both for it. Has been, you all will never know what you all did for me.
Oh, thank you so
that,
much. Thank you so much for having us.
That was a good time. This has been a certainly good time.
It was our privilege and our pleasure. We want to thank you so much for inviting us, not only on a personal level, but on a professional level. Thank you so much. It's been warm. It's been genuine. You are most certainly one of the most authentic people that I know.
Thank you.
I want to encourage you to keep that up, and I have great respect and love and revelry for what you're doing for the community.
Thank you.
Continue that as well.
We certainly will. To make an announcement again, July 19th through the 22nd in Miami, I'll be doing the Miami Beach Brothers Bash again. If you want information, it's www.miamibeachbrothers.com. In attendance will be J.L. King, of course. I don't know if, what is his name? The porn star. I can't think of his name. He's supposed to be there, too. again, so certainly it's a good time had by all. There'll be a model search, just a whole lot of stuff going on. But again, check that out, www.miamibeachbrothers.com. Again, it's been a pleasure. This is Christopher Evans on Black on Black on KPFT 90.1, the radio station that listens to you. And are we still in pledge drive mode?
No.
We're not. But you can still send it in.
Yes.
Please still send it in.
You can go to kpft.org and make your pledge of support there.
Please, that would be wonderful. Absolutely wonderful thing that they are doing here, and the people behind the scenes. Absolutely wonderful. So, Chris, that is it for us.
All right. Well, then I'll play the music.
Thank you.
Welcome to the colored section. Welcome to the Negro League. Sign your name on a blacklist and no list. It's American history. See what it is to be blackmailed.
Blackmailed.
See a real life conspiracy.
Ooh.
Sign your name on a blacklist. And know this, it's American history.
All right, we're going to put a couple songs in your ear to get you ready. This is for the Father's Day that's coming up. Just a little humor in here. Start off with a little Super 8 cum shot.
Oh, Daddy, when you were in jail, were you anybody, bitch? Oh, Daddy, when you were in jail, were you anybody, bitch? Did a Muslim man make you his pet so you could get some cigarettes? Oh, Daddy, when you were in jail, were you anybody, bitch? Oh, Daddy, when you were in jail, did you get down on your knees? Oh, Daddy, when you were in jail, did you get down on your knees? Because I heard that's what you got to do so the other inmates will like you. Oh, Daddy, when you were in jail, did you get down on your knees?
limousine. There's wonder wildflowers and nectar for the queen. And everything you bring me got me dripping like a honeycomb. If you got some sugar for me, sugar daddy, bring it home. Oh, the thrill of control, like the blitzkrieg on the road, is the sweetest taste I've known. Oh yeah, if you've got some sugar, bring it home. Oh yeah, come on, sugar daddy, bring it home. Whiskey and French cigarettes, a motorbike, a high-speed jet, a water pick, a queasy knot, and a hypoallergenic dog. Oh, I want all the luxuries of a modern age, every item on every page in the Lillian Berlin catalog. Oh, baby, something crossed my mind. And I was thinking you look so fine in a velvet dress with heels and an ermine shawl. Oh, Luther, darling, heaven knows I've never put on women's clothes except for once my mother's camisole.
A couple of songs there for Father's Day. Super 8 Come Shot with Oh Daddy. And, of course, that last one was Hedwig and the Angry Inch with Sugar Daddy. And we're getting close to the top of the hour. We're going to do a little bit of roundtable. We're going to also play a little bit from Democracy Now! On Friday's episode. We'll talk about the MBB letter that we got in. I'm back. Yes, RJ. It's been a long time. He's been away. And, yes, hopefully, if RJ can help bring Stacy back into the fold. We told Stacy we're back on Saturdays, and Stacy just isn't coming back. Condolences on your grandmother. I understand that. I'm just returning from my grandmother. So, yes, you still want to come up there if you're allowed? Of course you are. Jimmy has this open-door policy. That's why the hell I haven't gotten out of here yet.
What?
It's going over the letter.
Oh, which one?
It's the one from last week. RJ. He had a question on here. Did the meat rack ever reopen? No.
No, it hasn't, damn it.
And no words yet on anything of that. Okay, I guess I'm going to have to do it. He has a joke in here. What do gay cows eat?
I know this.
Hi. Oh, Lord. I did that. There's that. So, I'm just trying to kill some time until we get to the top of the hour.
Oh, okay.
So that way, I'll just play a couple of the PSAs, and then we'll kill some time by bringing Amy Goodman onto the show.
Yes, yes. A very, very controversial subject coming up in the gay community is the appointment of the new Surgeon General.
Well, he hasn't been appointed yet. He's nominated by Shrub. And where did I see that wonderful report he wrote? I remember seeing a copy of it.
So we have the nominee for Surgeon General is a man who...
done a lot of bad things. He wrote a horrible little thing saying that, you know, heterosexuality is so ingrained in our society that we've named plumbing fittings after it.
Male and female.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It was
cute.
No, that's right. When I saw that, I saw the picture of the report there on the Colbert Report.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I saw that from. But I'll have to see if I can find more of that lovely little thing he wrote for, you know, the great medical institution of the United Methodist Church.
Oh.
Is who he wrote his little diatribe
okay.
for. So what we'll do is let me give you the Pride PSAs, and then we'll
come back to that.
Take you off to Amy Goodman.
Great.
From Friday's episode. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Pride Houston presents its 29th annual Gay Pride Festival and Parade, Saturday, June 23rd, in the heart of Montrose. Festival entertainment featuring Nemesis and Kimberly Caldwell, and informational booths open at 2 p.m. Parade starts at 8:45. Don't miss the fun of this spectacular event. For details, check out pridehouston.org or call 713-529-6979. Again, don't forget to mark your calendars for Saturday, June 23rd, the Gay Pride Festival and Parade. This is KPFT Houston.
Eight years after Stonewall, lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgender people are celebrating Pride Day around the globe. We're still fighting for basic human rights. We're fighting for our lives from Serbia and Lebanon to the Castro District. We'll look at AIDS organizing, Latino LGBT organizing, transgender rights, and the contribution of queer intellectuals and much, much more. Tune in to Pacifica's LGBT special called Pride and Resistance. Check your local station's website for details.
I'm Amy Goodman. In Washington, D.C., opposition is growing against President Bush's nominee to be the next Surgeon General. Leading gay rights groups are calling on senators to reject the confirmation of Dr. James Holsinger. Holsinger has argued that homosexuality is unnatural and dangerous, and that sexual orientation is a lifestyle choice. In 2000, he helped form the Hope Springs Community Church, which has a special program that it claims to cure gay men and lesbians. If confirmed as Surgeon General, Holsinger would become the country's chief health educator. Dr. Holsinger is a cardiologist who has served as Secretary of the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services and is Chancellor of the University of Kentucky Medical Center. He's also a former medical director at the Veterans Health Administration. Already two senators who will review his nomination, Barack Obama and Christopher Dodd, have expressed concern. In a statement, Senator Obama said, quote, "I have serious reservations about nominating someone who would inject his own anti-gay ideology into critical decisions about the health and well-being of our nation." Much of criticism centers on a paper Dr. Holsinger prepared in 1991 for the United Methodist Church's Committee to Study Homosexuality. The document, entitled Pathophysiology of Male Homosexuality, tries to make the medical argument that homosexuality is unnatural and unhealthy. In it, Holsinger writes, quote, "The logical complementarity of the human sexes has been so recognized in our culture that it has entered our vocabulary in the form of naming various pipe fittings, either the male fitting or the female fitting, depending on which one interlocks within the other. When the complementarity of the sexes is breached, injuries and diseases may occur," he wrote. The White House has declined to address criticism of Dr. Holsinger. Spokesperson Tony Snow was asked about Holsinger's views at a White House news conference Wednesday.
The Los Angeles Times and the Washington Post both report that Dr. James Halsinger, the president's nominee for Surgeon General, has been denounced by homosexual activists as well as by presidential candidates Edwards and Clinton because in 1991 Dr. Halsinger wrote that sex between people of the same sex, especially men, could lead to many serious health problems. And given the medical accuracy of the doctor's statement, what is the president's reaction to such attacks on this physician, who is his nominee?
You know what? I haven't asked him about that, so I don't know.
Can you, wait a minute. Wait. The national organization, Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays, has issued a statement that the denunciations of Dr. Halsinger are bigoted. The president, in supporting him, would not disagree with this, would he?
Again, I'm going to speculate on that unless...
While the White House refused to address the issue, a spokesperson for the Department of Health and Human Services defended Dr. Halsinger, saying his 1991 paper, quote, was a summary of scientific peer-reviewed studies at the time. Journalist Max Blumenthal has been following this story. He's a Puffin Foundation writing fellow at the Nation Institute. His work appears in The Nation and Salon and other publications. He's in our Firehouse studio. And on the phone from Phoenix, Arizona, is Jim Burraway. He runs the website boxturtlebulletin.com, which seeks to refute stereotypes and misinformation about gays, lesbians, and bisexuals, has written extensively about Halsinger's 1991 paper. Let's begin with you, Jim.
Yeah.
1991, the paper that Dr. Halsinger wrote.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting paper, to say the least, because he writes it for the United Methodist Church, and he's trying to provide scientific evidence to support their what is essentially a theological theory where they talk about the complementarity of male and female couples, opposite sex couples. And he tries to build the case that science or medicine proves that same-sex couples are pathological. He uses the term pathophysiology. In other words, that it's our bodies that tell us that there's something pathological about it. And so he wrote this paper with, I mean, if you just read the paper by itself, I could see where you'd be inclined to think, well, you know, gee, there's clearly something going wrong if gay men are suffering from all of these terrible diseases and all of these terrible injuries having sex with each other. The problem with the paper, though, I've found that in papers like this, this is fascinating. This is true with basically all anti-gay tracts in general. And I believe that this one kind of qualifies more as an anti-gay tract than a scientific paper. The problem is that you really have to go to the bibliography or the footnotes to find out what's really going on. And the fascinating thing about it is that the sources that he used to essentially condemn gay men, the sources that he used are all describing injuries that are found in emergency room settings and sexually transmitted diseases from one STD clinic in Copenhagen, Denmark. And the emergency room injuries are also sustained by straight people having I guess you would say heterosexual sex, and so it's a strange thing to see how someone can take evidence of what straight people are doing and ending up in emergency rooms for, and saying, "Aha! This proves that gay sex is pathophysiologically bad."
Doctor, it was reported Reverend J. Philip Wogeman, the main writer for the committee, said the report reflected Dr. Halsinger's view of homosexuality, and that when Dr. Halsinger discerned the committee was preparing a statement that would, quote, recognize the moral dignity of gay and lesbian life if practiced without promiscuity, Wogeman said Dr. Halsinger angrily resigned.
That's pretty amazing. I hadn't heard that, but I mean, I think it does fit with, I hadn't heard those circumstances behind his resignation, but I mean, I think that fits very well with the tone of this paper. I mean, this it's described as a wide-ranging review of the medical literature, Well, it's clearly not. I mean, he had to step around an awful lot of compelling evidence in order to cherry pick the pieces that he pulled out and to put in this paper. I mean, this isn't a dispassioned review of the literature. It's an impassioned condemnation of gay people.
Max Blumenthal, you've been writing about Dr. Holsinger's record. Put it in a bigger context. What is the Bush administration doing with this nomination for Surgeon General?
Well, this nomination is another sop to the Christian right. You know, they're trying to get their base revved up. I subscribe to various Christian right newsletters, and they're just bombarding me with emails and with newsletters saying this is another case of religious bigotry by the Democrats. They're forcing Dr. Holsinger to check his Christianity at the door. So even if his nomination fails, they've gotten the base revved up. They've gotten the Christian right interested again. The Christian right is essentially controls this administration. And so they're doing a lot of damage in the process by nominating someone to a scientific institution who's hostile to science. Someone who has shown in his career almost as much hostility to homosexuals as he has to disabled veterans. You know, before Walter Reed made it cool to abuse veterans, Dr. Holsinger was, as the head of the VA, forced to personally admit blame for the 6 deaths at a Chicago hospital he administered. 30 hospitals he administered were ruled by a government investigation to have substandard care for veterans. And, you know, I think Dr. Holsinger might argue that, you know, he can hold these views about homosexuals and still be qualified for the Surgeon General, but he can't argue that he doesn't believe in science. And that's just on the record. It's established. If you believe in ex-gay therapy, which he does, if you believe that you can pray away the gay, which he does, you are rejecting 30 years of science. The American Psychiatric Association, the largest association of mental health professionals, has, you know, stopped listing homosexuality as a mental disorder in 1974. And they've contributed to virtually every Surgeon General's annual report. So he's rejecting the mental health community right there. And this reflects a larger trend in the administration of hostility to science. You know, you have the NASA chief, Michael Griffin, who doesn't believe global warming exists. You have the former chair of the President's Council on Bioethics, which rubber-stamped his veto of stem cell science, Leon Cass, who says that women's natural function in life is to have children, and he's spoken out most fervently against what he sees as one of the biggest social evils, the public licking of ice cream cones. Another member of the President's Council of Bioethics, Robert George, who I profiled for The Nation, wants laws enacted to ban masturbation, which would sort of create a vicious cycle once you throw people in prison for that, because there's nothing else to do. Robert Brame, nominated for the National Labor Relations Board, believes that homosexuals, abortion doctors, and disobedient children should be executed according to biblical law. Joe McElhaney, former co-chair of the President's Advisory Council on AIDS, still a member, believes AIDS can be spread by sweat and tears. Current co-chair, Senator Tom Coburn, anti-condom activist, and his chief of staff told me at a right-wing conference I was covering that he thinks liberal federal judges should not only be impeached but impaled as well. So you have in charge of scientific institutions sexual troglodytes who might be qualified to administer tribal regions in Pakistan, but they're just not qualified to be in charge of these institutions. And so I think the nightmare isn't over. You know, we have 1 year left, but the administration continues throwing these sops to the base. And, you know, you saw in your last segment how they fomented a civil crisis in Gaza, or they fomented a culture war at home.
Max, the New York Times was the one that quoted Wogerman saying that when the committee was preparing the statement that would recognize the moral dignity of gay men and lesbians if practiced without promiscuity, Holsinger angrily resigned. They also quoted Maria Kemplin, a lesbian who works as a budget and policy analyst for Dr. Holsinger when he was chancellor, saying he never expressed anything but acceptance and fairness in the workplace. and the Louisville, Kentucky Journal, the Courier Journal, reports more than a dozen Kentuckians who've worked with the former Secretary of the State Cabinet for Health and Family Services and the Chancellor of the University of Kentucky's Chandler Medical Center say he is not bigoted and deeply committed to providing health care for all.
Well, I'm sure he's a very nice man, and that was the argument in favor of Samuel Alito, too. That's their argument all the time, but he's disqualified by his rejection of established medical science, which is required to be Surgeon General. Even C. Everett Koop, who was Reagan's Surgeon General, who was a fervent anti-abortion activist, believed in science, recommended sex education to stop the AIDS crisis that was brewing during the 80s. He was forced out because of the same right-wing activists who have demanded Holsinger's confirmation. You have a really dangerous situation. This is a guy, Holsinger, who's donated $16,000 to George W. Bush. He's extremely compromised. He's a right-wing activist. When he wrote this sickeningly lurid paper for the United Methodist Church, he was engaged in a sophisticated and well-funded right-wing effort to undermine the historically progressive wing of the United Methodist Church. At the time, they were liberalizing their policy towards homosexuals to allow homosexuals to serve openly in the clergy. Dr. Holsinger was the point man for the right to make sure that didn't happen. And his paper was not a scientific review of homosexual sex. It was actually an effort to smear homosexuals to make way for this right-wing effort.
And that, as a chancellor at the University of Kentucky, he once faced down two conservative state senators who threatened to withhold funding from a lesbian health care seminar at the University of Kentucky in 2002.
He's accused of embezzling $20 million from a foundation which he took over in Kentucky when he was in charge of Kentucky's Health Services Administration. Kentucky sank to the bottom of the country, and some of his peers accused him of driving their health care system to third world standards. So, you know, not only is he a failure, but he's a dedicated cultural warrior who's extremely compromised, and he doesn't believe in science.
The last less than 2 years of the Bush administration, what do you see this in the this choice? How does this fit into these 2 years? What kind of effect do you think Bush will have in these final 2 years?
Well, as I said before, the nightmare isn't over. This is, the Bush administration is going to continue to try to maintain the base and the coalition that Karl Rove has created through his strategy establishing a majority of the majority, going for the base. This base is the Republican Party, and they're going to push the Republican Party even further to the right. They control the nominating process. People like James Dobson, people like the characters I spoke about, are the ones who are defining the domestic policy of this administration. And on an international level, people like Elliot Abrams are creating conflict abroad. They've substituted.
But do you think Bush's power is diminished at this point?
Bush is essentially irrelevant at this point, and what they're trying to do is hold the Republican coalition together by throwing these various sops to the base. It's not about policy, it's about politics, and that's what Holsinger represents here. Whether he gets confirmed or not, I think the Bush administration has accomplished its aim of holding the Republican coalition in place for Bush's successor.
Last comments, as you not only write about Dr. Holsinger, but write about these individuals who populate the Bush administration right now.
Well, these individuals who are in the Bush administration, it's hard to identify who they are, but, we've seen through the Attorney General scandal, for instance, Monica Goodling, who is one of 150 graduates of Pat Robertson's Regent University in the administration. These people become former White House officials once this is over.
We're going to have to leave it there. Max Blumenthal, thanks for joining us, and thank you to Jim Burraway. That does it for the broadcast tonight. I'll be in Chicago.
All right. Thank you.
Whoa. Jim. Thank you, Amy.
Amy Goodman from Democracy Now. You can hear Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Group Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast from 6 to 7 p.m. here on KPFT. Or you check them out on the web at democracynow.org. I hadn't heard much about this story until hearing the rebroadcast yesterday, coming home, and it's like,
That's right.
Interesting.
This is frightening. It's like a page out of the Weekly World News, but sadly it's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't...
I think it's been the first time that the crew for the roundtable have been in here and quiet during it. You know, it's just everybody was just dumbfounded listening to this.
And I can't seem to find all the links to where supposedly some of these copies of his report are.
Mm-hmm.
Are quite busy. Their websites are down right now.
See, this is what happens when you get into bed with a bunch of religious zealots.
Well, actually, if you take a look at some of the... if you take a look at some of the activity with the Republican Party back in the Nixon administration,
mm-hmm.
you can really kind of take a look at how historically this is the plan of the Republican Party all along. When Nixon appointed Lewis Powell to the Supreme Court, one of the conditions of that appointment was that he write a manifesto about how the Republican Party could come to power and, you know, basically dominate the three branches of government. Mm-hmm. And the most... One of the central steps in the whole process was to get in bed with the religious right, because it's an instant grassroots network with almost limitless fundraising capabilities. It's a huge voting base, and the other really important part, which the Democrats never seem to grasp, is that don't lose your shirts over little individual battles. You have to look at your goals long term.
Yeah.
Plus, the Republican Party is not afraid to stand up and say what they supposedly believe. The Democrats, you know, as Kate Clinton said, don't know how to take their own side in a fight. So, actually, I think what she said is if they had a picture of George Bush going down on Dick Cheney, they wouldn't know what to do with it.
Wow.
So, which is true. But basically, I mean, getting in bed with the religious right has been part of achieving the goals of the Republican Party for much longer than George Bush has been in power.
He just took it up a notch.
No, he just sort of took it to the next natural progression.
This isn't just a war against us being, you know, gay or transgender or alternative lifestyle people. This is an attack on knowledge and science.
Wow.
I mean, it's...
You're right.
It is from the point of the religious right. The Republican Party is only involved in it for the votes and the power base. They're not necessarily in it because they believe what the Christian right believes. They're in it. They're in bed with the Christian right for the money and the voting base. That's pretty much it.
I heard two disturbing things.
Yeah.
Very disturbing things in this comment that just really struck me. And one was somebody working with NASA who did not believe in global warming.
Yeah.
It's
and
amazingly disturbing.
Who
that is.
Wrote off what years of research and discussion, and we're talking some serious discussion in a psychological world, went through. And if you're going to go for a position where you say, I believe in what the research has said medically, and just write off an entire branch of medical research, that doesn't make any sense to me. How can you possibly say that I represent, you know, medicine in the world if you don't believe in a large portion of medicine?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a step back to the Dark Ages. I mean, listening to the rhetoric of this appointee, you know, it's frightening, you know, because we are so ignorant as to what's going on in the world because we're so busy, you know, paying attention to what some heiress in California is doing instead of reading the papers and really looking at the real issue here.
And what can we do about it?
We can, when you read a news story, or you see any publication, there's a word I'm going to use, and I really hope that if you're listening to it, you look it up. It's called epistemology, and it is the way of knowing, and it is more than just science. Mm-hmm. So if you're kind of scared of science, give epistemology a try. Believe it or not, there's a spiritual side of epistemology. Part of epistemology is knowing what you know spiritually, and how theology can mix with science.
Philosophy as well. You know, that was part of my core when I was at college, that we had to study science or study philosophy and study theology to round out our education. And it made me a better learner. It gave me a wider understanding of the world around me. You know, we're sitting here and we're boohooing because, you know, Paris Hilton is locked up for 45 days. Who cares?
I don't.
We've got a bunch of religious zealots in the Bush administration, and they're peppered throughout and just in the right places, that it can really cripple what has been done in the last, you know.
Oh, we're already crippled. I mean, look at the no condom thing in AIDS education. That's been going on for years now, so that you've got people in their 20s who are unaware of condoms.
Oh, it's amazing. Abstinence is the answer.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, that, you know, you don't tell that to an 18-year-old with hormones raging.
Exactly. Well, what really frightened me is...
Tell that to a 14-year-old with hormones. To heck with 18-year-olds. I mean, when on a daily basis I can walk the neighborhood and run into street rats and stuff who haven't made it to 18 yet, who are already
infected. Yes.
One of the ones that I've known for a while recently, now he's getting a little long in the tooth for the streets, but you know, he's been out there a long time, and mm-hmm. you know, and thank you very much, Hep C and HIV has been dropped on his doorstep. Yeah. You know,
double whammy.
Mm-hmm. We, Scott and I, were just at Hollywood, you know, sitting there watching all the young crowd and
all the ones who are actually following Paris's trip through jail.
Yes. Yeah. And we were talking about how little they know about how far we've come. And if they don't get it, if they don't understand why we have to keep fighting, then the folks like this jackass with, you know, who wants to rewrite all of, you know, medical history for the last 30 years wins. I mean, because nobody's paying attention. Nobody wants to pay attention to that fight. You know, nobody wants to pay attention to the guy running his mouth saying, you know, where, because enough people get that and who are on the other side of the argument, you know, you ignore the fact that he says stuff like this, and all of a sudden the bull they spout becomes law.
Yeah. Well, what's really amazing is, the whole time I've been listening to this and, you know, our comments, I keep having this song by Roger Waters playing in my head, and the line that keeps going through my head is, "This species has amused itself to death."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we are so ingrained with, like, ways to entertain ourselves in this country. And, you know, I was taking a history class in school not too long ago, and the history professor was remarking how foreign students know more about American government than American students.
Because they're required to get their...
Yeah.
It's required to get their citizenship. It's, I mean, but foreign students pay more attention to American government than American students. And the really scary thing is that... we have generated this culture which is more interested in entertainment than what's actually going on in the world.
I think we've done a disjustice to our youth. Nowadays, it's always, let's make it super safe for our youth. I've got news for you. People are strong. We can live through a lot.
It's
and
not
when
just
you live
about
through a lot, you realize just how deep people can be.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just the youth.
Yeah.
We have sold the entire country short. And I was talking with a friend of mine a couple weeks ago about what's going on with American government. And I was talking to them about a show that I saw on Charlie Rose, where he was talking with Lee Iacocca. And he was saying that basically the biggest part of the checks and balances of this country is not functioning. The biggest part of the checks and balances for American government is the American people. The American people are not doing their job in reading up and deciding what is best for their country. So the people who just want to take the show and run it into the ground are currently the ones in power.
But the problem is this, you know, there was a bit of check and balance there in the midterm elections. Unfortunately, no one in the Democratic Party has a spine enough to stand up unless they know it's going to fail so they can put together this little dog and pony show.
No, what I think is failing in the fabric of the American society, and that is why we live with the White House we have today. There's something deeply wrong with our country.
I think he
has a point in on one level, but I think it's on some level the other side, which is no longer which is now the minority. Because if they truly had a spine, they would be the ones who, instead of voting party line every time, hook, line, and sinker, right, they would say, no. This is not how it should be. People are, you know, we have people dying in Iraq. We have world conflicts where people are blowing up each other left, right, and center. And instead of doing what's right and risking re-election, they simply toe the party line, that way they can stay in power.
I mean, I knew it was lost when Pelosi, you know, was speaker-elect, and she said, you know, impeachment is not on the table.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, that's when I think we all should know. Everybody ready for a 6-page story?
Yep.
I found the report.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Awesome.
I'm not sure where exactly I pulled this from, but the pathophysiology of male homosexuality, prepared for the Committee to Study Homosexuality of the United Methodist Church. James Holsinger, M.D., January 14th, 1991.
Mad doctor. Anyhow,
medical doctor.
During the course of the meeting of the Committee to
medical
Study
problem.
Homosexuality,
exactly.
Biology has come to meaning the non-psychological causation of homosexuality. However, biology also means the division of physical science which deals with organized beings or animals or plants, their morphology, physiology, origin, and distribution. I believe that we must seriously consider the scientific disciplines of anatomy, structural morphology, physiology, function, pathology, abnormal anatomy, or pathophysiology, abnormal function. Not to do so would simply fail to be true to our charge as a committee. There is an absolute consensus in the scientific community concerning the structure and function of the human alimentary and reproductive systems. These two systems are absolutely separate since the human does not possess a cloaca. Reproduction can only occur by utilizing the reproductive system, requiring both the female ovum, egg, and the male sperm. We're talking about sex, not reproduction. Ova are fertilized naturally in the fallopian tubes of women following sexual intercourse by the sperm, which transits through the vagina and uterus following release from the penis. Although artificial methods are available in use, the anatomy and physiology of humans have resulted in a natural means for conception.
So far, we
were going to read through all 6 of the pages?
Well, there's actually double space, so it's not that lot.
Yeah, that's still going to take the rest of the 30 minutes to read through.
Well, this is one part here. The structure and function of the male and female human reproductive systems are fully complementary. Anatomically, the vagina is designed to receive the penis. It is lined with squamous epithelia and surrounded by a muscular tube intended for penile intromission. The rectum, on the other hand, now it's going into fisting. It's lined with a delicate mucosal surface and a single layer of columnar epithelium intended primarily for the reabsorption of water and electrolytes. The rectum is incapable of mechanical protection against abrasion, and severe damage to the colonic mucosa can result if objects that are large, sharp, or pointed are inserted into the rectum. The anus and rectum, unlike the vagina, contain no natural lubricating function. Thus, insertion of unlubricated objects or inadequate dilation of the anus before insertion of a large object can result in tissue laceration.
If you have a sharp end to your penis, we're all in trouble.
Well, yeah, he could have been talking about piercings. I mean, he goes...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Jacob's ladders can be hell.
I mean, here's, he goes into a whole lot of other stuff. There was the...
Basically, it's an argument against homosexuality by explaining heterosexual reproduction.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the plumbing anatomy.
Without looking at population sizes. Oh, here. If you look at population sizes in animals, you'll find that when you overpopulate an area, naturally... animals will produce animals that are gay to help close off the overpopulation.
Exactly. See?
And I got news for you people. We are overpopulated. We are so overpopulated we can't produce enough food for everybody. That's a sad thing because we have enough technology and enough know-how that this could be a paradise.
I got an even more basic concept for people. Which they say, it's this whole idea that we are separate from the rest of everything. Nature.
And we're not.
Guess what? By definition, human beings are animals.
Right. No. True.
To be exact.
The only real difference, there's only two that I can think of. Opposable thumbs.
And our ability to accessorize.
That too. No, there are other animals that can do that. That and language as we define it. However, if you look at communication between dolphins and whales, I don't know that you can really count it. But those are the only two absolute differences that I can find between us and the rest of them.
And the interesting thing is, looking through the bibliography, you know, he wrote this in 91.
All of his sources are what, from 1950?
No, obviously. Mainly from the 80s. 86, 83, 86, 86, 88, 87, 89.
Right at the height of the Reagan regime.
2 to 8 years old were all of his things there.
Totally current.
Yeah, he ends with the one part here. In fact, the logical complementary of the human sexes has been so recognized in our culture that it has entered our vocabulary in the form of naming various pipe fittings, either the male fitting or the female fitting, depending on which interlocks with the other.
Well, that's a brilliant observation, but what the hell has that got to do with homosexuality?
When the complementary of the sexes is breached, injuries and diseases may occur as noted above. Therefore, based on the simplest known anatomy and physiology, when dealing with the complementary of the human sexes, one can simply say, res ipsa logator, the thing speaks for itself.
Could I just point out that, you know, sexually transmitted diseases and
injuries.
Physical injuries due to sexual activities are not and never have been relegated purely to the homosexual community. Yeah.
Even though we do kind of like it rough.
Women... take, for instance, the whole London scene circa 1850s to 1900. There were more prostitutes with
with massive amounts of disease floating around the streets of the foggy streets of London than you could shake a stick at. It's a wonder all of London culture didn't just collapse in on itself, because, you know, everybody was getting themselves some, whether they were the poor folks or the, you know, the princes of in the castle.
It was the height of civilization.
Yeah. Yes. I mean,
Ben Franklin had gout, which at that time was a sexually transmitted disease.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on. We're one of the few species of animals that actually has sex for recreational purposes and not procreation. Well, I'm sure there's other species, but we're one of the few.
A few monkeys out there who do it.
How many dogs have humped your
leg? Yeah, most of them are humans.
Yeah.
We're monkeys that do it for fun.
I would like to thank him for his deep concern about my well-being, and I'm glad that's a very good Christian thing to do. However, there are a lot of poor people out in the world who can't get any medical benefits, and I know that somebody from a long time ago told me that when somebody needs something, get on the bad wagon to help them. So, thank you for your looking out for me, and I hear your message. Now let's look out for all those people who are in need out in the world, who might not be gay, they might be straight, we don't know, but they need medical care.
Dying
and they need
out in the
food.
Boonies with no medical care whatsoever.
And I've read the Bible a number of times, and I gotta tell you, it lists feeding and clothing the poor a lot.
Yeah.
But the Republicans don't believe in that.
Well, no, that's because the rich people that sign their checks are not willing to pay for that.
Yeah, see, I have that problem at work right now. That's why we're supposedly going to go on strike. But, you know, these people claim to be so religious, yet they only pluck bits and pieces that benefit their skewed, albeit, you know, screwed up point of view. You know, of course, we've had this since the dawn of, you know, the written word. I mean, we're talking about people in the times of Civil War who were using the Bible to justify slavery. You know,
well, they were still doing that.
How about using the Bible to justify the invasion of South Africa by the English and the Dutch?
Oh, yeah, you know, it just...
Yeah, people hide behind their pulpits to justify a lot of crap.
Well, how else are you going to hide the altar boys, too?
I mean, getting back to the whole point of that letter. Anybody at this table feel like they are a disease or that they are, you know, somehow a monster as a result of their sexual orientation?
No.
I never have, actually.
Yeah. Anybody here feel like an aberration simply because they happen to be queer?
No.
Nope.
There's a few aberrations.
Maybe because of a few of the things I've done as a result, but
no.
Not from the orientation itself.
Yeah, okay.
But, hey, let's go on. Let's talk about...
Well, what's really, really disturbing is that merely by putting this fellow up for Surgeon General, it's yet one more example of Bush and his cronies using the homosexuals as a wedge issue for political advancement of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
I mean, is it just me, or did the rest of you feel incredibly used in 2004 when out of nowhere Bush decided to push gay marriage?
Yeah, I mean, gay marriage.
I mean, who else was talking about it?
Nobody.
It was Bush who brought it up because he needed some way to divide the vote.
Yeah.
He was scared.
And then all of a sudden you heard them saying that it was that they turned it on us as if we were the ones bringing up the issue. I'm like, no, you were the people who complained.
It was the straight mayor of San Francisco who decided, let's start marrying gay people.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys put it on the table, so don't come knocking at our door and telling us we started this mess. This
will see, but it's just one more example of how the Republican Party uses us and various other, quote, unsavory portions of the population, like women who like to have abortions, as wedge issues for winning elections.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Chris wanted to change the subject.
Let's
go. And we did get a phone call from a man who said there was an incorrect statement that gout was a sexually transmitted disease, and it is not.
That's not? Well, I thought he would.
No.
Oh, he may have had something else, though.
Okay.
I know it's also a rich man's disease, what they call it.
Yeah.
Well, this is part of the slippery slope of what they say with homosexuality, but this is a straight story.
Oh.
A Corvallis. I'm not sure what's
Corvallis?
Corvallis. This comes to us from the lovely people at thedailyrotten.com.
I love them.
What state is Corvallis in?
Is that Mexico?
No, it's in England. I have to look up, see where this place is from. Oregon.
Oh.
Corvallis, Oregon.
Wow. Go okay. Back. What's happening
okay.
there?
Back up to the top. A Corvallis teenager is facing charges of burglary and sexual abuse of an animal.
What?
After being arrested last week in a barn in northeast Corvallis. The teenager, 17 at the time of his arrest, was caught by police. The owners of the property reported assaults on the horse before.
Horse.
Oh,
now that's taking your life into your own
Somebody's
hands.
Been reading their rumors about Catherine again.
Once on July 30th and again on February 9th of this year, after the July incident, the owners noticed the halter of their mare, so it was straight bestiality.
I see.
Had been moved. So the owners installed a video surveillance camera inside the barn. In February, the owners noticed that the halter and food dishes had been moved. When they checked the video from the camera, they saw a male, who they estimated between 16 and 18, sexually assaulting the horse.
Oh, God.
He wore a jacket, long pants, and a baseball cap. They were not able to identify him. The deputy who viewed the video said the youth seemed very practiced, not hurried, but not wasting any time. He seemed to be following a very concise, deliberate, and well-thought-out plan. After the February incident, they installed a silent alarm.
Premeditated bestiality?
Yes.
I question the phrase, well-thought-out.
The owners looked at the video monitor and saw the suspect preparing to assault the horse. They called the sheriff. The suspect had gotten into a locked barn by squeezing behind one panel of a sliding door. He's charged with second-degree burglary, sexual abuse of an animal, and he was taken to a detention center where he was arraigned and released the same day.
Mm.
Did they register him?
Do we have the old gray Mary, what she used to be?
Let's not talk about Jimmy.
Hey.
All right, from New Zealand.
Yes.
Man admits to taking covert pictures of men using the urinal.
Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
How original.
Nicholas Swingo Garango.
George Michael needs a record.
Who?
Nicholas Wingo Garango Mai.
Wow.
Bless you.
Because then I
pled guilty in Christchurch District Court to making intimate visual recording, a charge introduced into the Crimes Act last December, which carries a maximum penalty of 3 years.
Ooh.
Whoa.
He's taking pictures of guys peeing?
Yes, he was.
Well, he's got 3 years to see it all over again.
On each occasion, he followed a male up to the urinals and, using his cell phone strategically placed in his trouser pocket, recorded the male's urinating.
Yeah, nice.
Police were called when a man realized he was being photographed and confronted the guy. When the cell phone was inspected, 6 images were found in which male genitalia were clearly visible. The prosecutor said the guy admitted the offending, telling the police he was curious.
Wow.
This was at a shopping mall, and this is like the second time this law has been taken into effect. The other time was a guy filming up women's skirts in the same shopping center.
It's more like Geraldo is curious. You're a pervy.
In that shopping center.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's invasion of privacy, of course. And if the guy wants to take pictures of other men urinating, you should get permission first.
Go to Craigslist.org and put an ad up.
Loads of people will be willing to volunteer.
Yes, I'm sure. Sure.
There you are.
Thank you. Okay, a little bit more of a serious note. I'm going to say this falls under the category of a heterosexual panic defense.
Here we go. Heterosexual panic defense?
I think it's what they should have.
Is this akin to the Twinkie defense?
Well, you know, there's the homosexual panic defense.
Yeah.
You know. He touched me. He looked at me funny, so I had to kill him.
Yeah.
Four lesbians convicted of assaulting a man who was stabbed after he made advances toward one of them were sentenced on Thursday amid screams and weeping and prison terms ranging from 3.5 to 11 years.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
More than 24 court officers ring the courtroom as the sentence was pronounced.
Two dozen.
The judge made it clear that he believed that the women aged 19 to 25, all from Newark, New Jersey, were guilty. He said a surveillance tape of the fight was damning, but I believe that for the videotape there would have been an acquittal.
Ooh.
The judge sentenced Patrice Johnson to 11 years in prison. She admitted she had a knife and was videotaped swinging it as the victim, Dwayne Buckle, who had called the incident a hate crime against a straight man.
Oh, God, please.
Mm. Renata Hill, 25, was sentenced to 8 years by the judge, who said she's seen reinstigating the fight when it's over. He said if it's true, Buckle was stabbed in the second flare-up. She bears some responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
The judge called Venice Brown, 19, an aggressor who ran after the victim and sentenced her to 5 years in prison. He said the videotape showed her punching and pulling Buckle during the fight. Terrain Dandridge was the only defendant who took some responsibility, finally, which is what no one else did. The judge said in sentencing her to the least harsh prison term of 3.5 years. While the defendants wept visibly and audibly, Hill sobbed and screamed and collapsed on the floor after the sentencing was lifted by court officers and carried out of the courtroom. Three other women who were in the group previously pled guilty to attempted assault and were sentenced to 6 months in jail and 5 years probation. The four were sentenced Thursday after were convicted April 18th after assaulting Buckle, who made advances one of the seven as they walked past him at the Independent Film Center in Greenwich Village. Johnson testified at trial that her group told Buckle that they were not interested and became loud and rude, called them names, and threw a cigarette at them while saying that having sex with him would make them straight.
Oh, Lord.
She said the fight started after Buckle pushed and shoved them. Buckle, 29, testified he was in the hospital for 5 days and in bed at home for a month after surgery for a lacerated liver and stomach.
Wow.
I almost hate to say it, but he got what was coming to him.
No.
No.
I almost hate to say it.
You're wrong. Sorry. Four people beating up on one person is not.
Oh, no, seven.
It was seven.
One person,
actually.
Maybe.
Seven? Oh, well.
Seven.
Then.
Three of them said beforehand that.
Wow.
Well, he wanted to get gang-banged by a bunch of women.
He got screwed over by a couple of lesbians there, but he said the women were defending themselves from an abusive, homophobic Buckle. And the defense lawyers are planning on appealing.
Sorry, seven lesbians do not need to defend themselves against a single man unless he's wielding
a gun.
Well,
it doesn't need to get to that point.
No, it never needs to get to that point. Sorry, there's no way
gay
to...
Gay or straight.
They should have just walked away.
Yes.
There's no way to hang on to our civil liberties if we're not willing to respect the lives of others.
Right.
I have a vivid... vivid memory of the day some guy got chased out of Chances by a pack of angry lesbians.
Well, that's not difficult to do, though.
I don't know what he said or did, but they chased him down the street and disappeared.
Ooh.
I was like, oh, whatever it was, that wasn't a good idea, dude.
Don't mess with the dykes.
Lesson number one.
I feel like he didn't pull it down here in Houston. I think he may not have survived it.
Stop.
Our girls don't know how to throw down.
These were Jersey girls.
Yeah.
New Jersey girls. They should have, you know, even those without being lesbians, they should have been able to keep
those
should be thankful.
Those are tough women.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Tola Road. David Hyde Pierce has finally come out, and the world goes, duh. Oh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
He finally admitted he's gay.
Oh, wow. After winning the Tony.
Yes.
What a shock.
He came out publicly last week just in time to be able to thank his partner at the Tony Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Partner.
I am filled with consuming indifference.
How did you notice?
Let's see.
Yet another famous person's life I could care less about.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, everybody knew.
Here's something.
Please, how could you not?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What was it? Openly closeted is the phrase?
Niles.
Openly closeted?
Yeah. Openly closeted.
I like that.
Good.
I like that.
Niles Crane on Frasier.
Yeah. Kroger grocery stores have been charged with discrimination by the publisher of a regional Tennessee gay and lesbian publication, Out and About Newspaper.
What?
After what the publisher claims is an arbitrary decision to pull the paper from the stores.
We've been through that.
Yeah, he was told that the distributor had a contract to distribute to 34 Kroger stores in Middle Tennessee. The publisher said, Mr. Durham, who is... doesn't say who he's with, informed me that he was enforcing the wishes and policies of Kroger and Harris Teeter stores. He said the two corporations would not approve publications that are controversial, religious, or political. And the decision to remove Out and About Newspapers, DistribuTech, was following our own policy, and your situation is not solely the policy in which is the retailer. On behalf of management, I sincerely apologize for any confusion or frustration the situation may have caused your publication and its readers.
That's really subjective.
You know what I gotta say to that? Boo-hoo. Go try and find a fag rag in the airport hub in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was stuck there for like 3 or 4 hours on layover a year or two ago. And I went to every damned magazine stand in the entire hub. And Charlotte has a huge hub. Not a single gay magazine anywhere, but you could find maximum a dime a dozen.
And what would you find at the Houston International Airport?
I have no clue. I try and stay away from anything with that man's name on it.
I don't even use that. No, I call it international. I don't call it that.
Yeah,
name.
It's Intercontinental Airport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. You know, I was just in both Intercontinental, and I didn't think about when I was walking through in Philadelphia if the PGN was in there.
PGN?
Philadelphia Gay News.
Oh.
No, I
didn't even think to look.
Hmm. I went through the Charlotte airport, and I couldn't find anything.
Somehow I'm not surprised.
Not genre, not even the Advocate, nothing.
Yeah, but see, Rob, with Philadelphia, they are, I think they're probably the first major metropolitan city that is actively courting gay community.
Really?
If you go to...
of course, it's Philadelphia.
Philly.com/gay.
Chicago does it, too.
Well, Philadelphia, actually has a gay section to their Visitors Bureau website.
Okay. I know for a fact that Springfield, Missouri has a chapter of PFLAG. Now...
Hell, Waco's got PFLAG and MCC.
I mean, you know, there are people who would think of that as like the crack of the, of the Midwest universe or something. But the, I was there, and not only do they have such a chapter, but they have a rainbow flag that covers an entire door.
Goodness.
Of their office, the front door.
Well,
it's
places like that need PFLAG.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's
weird. The places where we get noticed and the places where it's like they wouldn't touch our community with a 10-foot looped pole.
Okay.
However,
we're 1 week away from
Pride.
Woo-hoo.
So what does it mean to everyone? Nothing.
It means that we've come a long way. I'm very grateful that one of the larger parades in Houston is a gay parade.
Yes.
And that means a lot to me. And
yeah,
I
say
thank the supporters.
I say keep it on Westheimer and keep it in the Montrose.
Yeah, I was about to say, Pride means to me, it means Montrose.
Yeah, and for God's sakes, let's please keep it in June.
Yes.
Where it belongs. I mean, if we don't keep it in June, does it really retain any of its significance
and
at all?
Why do we want to keep it in June?
Because it is a marking of the anniversary of the Stonewall riots.
Yes.
And it, the parade was actually the commemoration of the first anniversary of the Stonewall riots. And it grew outward from there.
Mm-hmm. Back in the days when it was called the Gay Liberation.
Yes, in New York and Los Angeles, were the first two, or San Francisco, were the first two cities.
And I realized...
Have that parade.
I wasn't around then.
At the one-year anniversary, 1970. Yes.
I was a year old when Stonewall happened. That having been said, I still understand... That still makes me old enough to understand how far we've come, so that all those happy little teen queens who are out there today and feel so free and open to do what they do.
And let me tell you, some of the discussion out on the patio at Hollywood tonight made me feel like I was losing brain cells.
It's just that it's great that they feel so out of the closet and able to do so, but they also do it with absolutely no... many of them do it with absolutely no concept of how that couldn't have happened when we were all kids.
They don't have their history.
Yeah. Look at some of the other countries that do Pride. My home country, I wasn't born there, but it's where my family comes through, Lithuania. They just had a Pride festival, and there were twice as many protesters as there were people in the parade.
Wow.
And so that just tells you, and that's Europe.
Now, here the protesters hang out just long enough to figure out that they're outnumbered several hundred to one.
Yes.
Yes.
So, well, as long as we don't feed them on the way through the parade, it'll stay that way.
Well, the KPFT entry will be number 91, so the protesters will be long gone before we get to the street.
Oh, we'll go up there. The pagans are going to take all the fun.
The pagans are number 66.
Ah.
You know, maybe we'll just go up, we'll go cruise up there earlier, because, you know, usually there's a couple of hot protesters.
I know.
Yes.
I asked one for his phone number one year, and I didn't get a very good response.
I'll bet not.
I bet.
You had better luck at the X-Game conference.
Actually, I did.
Even after hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM. We'll be back next week hot and sweaty because we'll be coming right back from the Pride Parade.
With a recap of what happened that night.
With the recap, and we'll play a little Stonewall while we try to hear Phillips. So one last time, I'm going to play the two PSAs I've been playing. Please remember, when you listen to the one about the Pacifica Radio show, call 713-526-4000 on Monday and ask Duane or Ernesto when the show is going to be, because I don't know when the hell it's going to be on, and it's not on the website. So.
Okay.
Hey! Hi, Ernesto, if you're listening.
Years after Stonewall, lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgender people are celebrating Pride Day around the globe. We're still fighting for basic human rights. We're fighting for our lives from Serbia and Lebanon to the Castro District. We'll look at AIDS organizing, Latino LGBT organizing, transgender rights, and the contribution of queer intellectuals, and much, much more. Tune in to Pacifica's LGBT special called Pride and Resistance. Check your local station's website for details. The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.